People in New Jersey are concerned and demanding information after a wave of mysterious drone sightings, but the government has yet to give any concrete answers. One lawmaker is calling for a state of emergency.
Since November 2024, there has been a sudden proliferation of sightings of mysterious orbs and drones in the skies of New Jersey, over New York, Pennsylvania, near military bases and nuclear facilities, in the UK and Germany. But what are they? And whose are they? The sightings have been investigated by the FBI, the FAA, and the Department of Homeland Security. And although the official statement is that they pose no national security threat, the explanation of whose and what they are leaves a little to the imagination.
We have no evidence that these activities are coming from a foreign entity or the work of an adversary.
Before we get into today's content, on behalf of the Fifth Kind TV, I want to say a big thank you to Surfshark for sponsoring today's content. Surfshark is a VPN that allows us all to become citizens of the world through online access. If you're like me, you'll enjoy watching online content from countries all around the world. But I live in Australia, and what I'm shown in internet searches will be different to what you're shown in Canada, America, the Philippines, Germany, the Netherlands, or wherever you're watching from. By using Surfshark, I'm able to access a world of online content and see all the things that you see and many other things beside. Surfshark enables us to become citizens of the world through online availability.
Get fully protected. Go to surfshark.com/fifthkind and get 4 months for free. Surfshark offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you try it and you don't like it, you can easily cancel your subscription and receive a full refund. With Surfshark, you can swim under the radar in the sea of online content.
Certainly, the Pentagon's response has left a little to be desired so far. We've heard from its press secretary, General Pat Ryder, and his explanation for these extraordinary sightings is that these are just hobbyists flying drones. These are Amazon deliveries, and some sightings may even be stars mistaken for UFOs. The fact that they have evaded capture or analysis or close explanation by US defense tells us there is something else going on here. When you have drones as large as small cars, able to hover for hours on end, and able to evade capture by US defense forces, you know that explanation hasn't gone quite far enough. But of course, this is not the first time our skies have been full of anomalous objects. What's different this time is that there's been a little bit more disclosure in recent years to raise new questions. According to Brigadier General Haim Ashed, Israel's former chief of space security, we have been in contact with extraterrestrial visitors for more than 80 years, and that there has been some collaboration going on. In all that time, we now know, because this information was authenticated in 2019, the Pentagon has had units whose job is to reverse engineer materials obtained through crash retrievals. And the purpose of those units has been confirmed by those who briefed them, people like the eminent astrophysicist Jacques Vallée, physicist Eric W. Davis, and microbiologist Gary Nolan. They have been briefing those groups. And the purpose of those groups has been confirmed by Alain Juillet, the former director of French security. So we know we've had contact with technology. Haim Ashed says we've had contact with the original owners of that technology as well. Now, all this has been in the air since Chris Mellon, the former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Presidents George W. Bush and President Clinton, released the footage of the Tic Tac encounters of 2004 in 2017 to the New York Times. This led to 2019, former Pentagon officials accepting, yes, we've been engaging, yes, we've been investigating. This led to Hamashed saying, yes, there's been collaboration. So now that we're looking to the skies and seeing this great spate of anomalous objects, we're naturally asking, whose are these? Are these ours? Are these a foreign adversary? Or are these the technology of another civilization from another planet? Now, according to official statements out of Washington, there is no evidence that this is the technology of a foreign adversary. Pat Ryder's explanation is it's Amazon deliveries or hobbyists with their own drones. If that isn't the explanation, what is? Could it be that the drones themselves are a misdirection from something else happening in our skies? Are they being played with so that we will look at those instead of some other things happening right now? Now, if that's the case, you might say, well, whose are they? If they're a distraction, if they're from home, who are the groups who have access to this technology and are flying it around to distract us? Well, we know that the work of reverse engineering of artifacts from UFO retrievals has been privatized over the decades to what President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. This means the aerospace industry. And so it's companies like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Skunk Works. These are the groups who have been working on the technology, working to replicate the properties of the materials from which these craft are constructed, working to replicate the anti-gravitic properties of the materials that we have retrieved. The word on the street is that these metamaterials create a little space-time bubble, which in theory, if you can work with it, enables you to travel subspace, to use that language, and all of a sudden the speed of light ceases to become a major impediment to interstellar contact. So we know this is being worked on. We've heard that from Gary Nolan. We've heard it from Jacques Vallée. We've heard it from Eric Davis. We know it's being worked on, so is it just a matter that Skunk Works has brought out some toys to play with so that we'll all be looking over here or something else that we can't control is over here? And I think there are phenomena that are getting lost in the mix right now that don't look anything like human technology and that should have us asking, who is in our airspace right now? What does it mean? And what's going to happen next? In my book, The Eden Enigma, I argue that there have been many times in human history when our skies have suddenly been filled with anomalous technology, and that many of these times seem to coincide with moments in our story when our survival hung in the balance, moments of near extinction level events, and moments of major military action. We might think of the Foo Fighters, witnessed by pilots in the Second World War, and we might think of the sudden spate of UFO sightings that followed the detonations at Trinity, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. And it was almost as if our galactic visitors showed up to find out what's happening on planet Earth. Are they about to self-destruct? Because we don't want that to happen. During the Cold War, it is now known, it's now in the public domain, that the nuclear warheads of both the USA and Russia were variously activated and deactivated by an unidentified intelligence. Again, this was a moment when the sustainability of life on Earth really hung in the balance. And here's an extraordinary intervention, almost a warning not to nuke ourselves into oblivion. In the Eden Enigma, I go further back into history, back to the silent spring which followed the Younger Dryas Cold period, the most recent ice age, and back to a period 40,000 years in the past, in which the magnetic North Pole migrated all the way to the South Pole,
the result of a weakened geomagnetic field, which was allowing ultraviolet rays to hit the Earth's surface at a rate like never before. The movement of the North Pole is called the Lachope excursion, and the extinctions which accompanied it are referred to as the Adams event. It's called the Adams event in honor of Douglas Adams, author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, an author and a work famously associated with the number 42. And the extinctions which coincided with these events tell us that this was a moment in the story of Homo sapiens when our survival hung in the balance. Could it be that the Adams event and the Lachope excursion was another moment where human survival hung in the balance, inviting the interest of our galactic neighbors? If you go to Bohuslän in Sweden, you'll find an image, but from the Bronze Age, and we have a field full of onlookers who are observing a disc which appears to have landed in a field, and the disc is emanating what looks like energy or flashes of lightning or fire. Yerevan, the capital of modern Armenia, a modern bustling city of energy and culture, occupying the high country of ancient Armenia with the towering Mount Ararat supervising from the horizon. Here we find an ancient Urartian fortress, the Fortress of Blood, Erebuni. In the Bronze Age, Yerevan was part of the Urartian Kingdom, the United Kingdom of Van. And on my recent visit to Van, I explored the sites at Ianis, Kefkelesi, and Chavus Tepe. And just over the border in modern Armenia is an amazing trove of art which has survived from that period to the present. Some of the emblems are immediately recognizable from the canon of art that belonged to Lower and Upper Mesopotamia. We see portrayals of their ancient gods, the Tingir. We see ziggurats in the sky, implying contact with other dimensions. Perhaps they were the means by which the Tingir would come and go. Other carvings suggested portals through which the Tingir would travel from their cosmic place of origin to the lands of Ararat. But why did they come? In the portico at Erebuni is an incredible work of art, and the main piece of it is a sky filled with flying discs. Now, these discs are interpreted by archaeologists as shields, circular shields with multiple spokes, but they echo symbology from Sweden and Iceland, where these are interpreted as stars or star-like objects. Essentially, they painted a sky full of flying discs. Now, you might think, well, which is it? Is it shields or is it flying discs? But in the annals of ancient history, that's a false dichotomy, because we have stories of flying circular shields, not only here in the symbology of the Urartians, but in the stories told by Livy of flying shields attending Roman military operations. They're described in the battles of Charlemagne in the 8th century of the Common Era. Soldiers of Charlemagne and the Roman soldiers were just as puzzled by these anomalous objects in the sky, and would every bit as much as their opponents have been saying, whose are those? And what are they? How can they do that? Aren't those the exact same questions we're asking right now in the 21st century? In 2025, people are concerned to know what happens next. In the frieze painted at Erebuni, we have an answer from the Bronze Age. The Urartian artists tell us this is what we saw in the sky, and it's a sky associated with ziggurats, and these mythologically are your ability to travel from one dimension to another.
So it's almost telling us these flying shields came from far away, from another dimension. And who came in the flying shields? Well, we have the portraits of the Tingir. And what is it they are doing? Now, the Tingir are portrayed as people, but there are two things about them that are very different. They have incredibly prominent, super strong calf muscles, and they have wings. I would suggest that what that is telling us, that these were powerful, strong people with the technology to fly. So we've got that reference not only with the flying shields, but with the wings they're wearing. I don't necessarily take it that you're looking at people with wings. This is a symbolological way of saying these were the people who could fly. But we don't see them flying in this particular picture, although we do in other places. Here, they are working with plants. When we look closely at the portrayals of the Tingir at Erebuni and at Ayanus in Turkey, it becomes clear that what they are doing is hand-pollinating a selection of plants. The plants are not growing in the wild. The art almost gives the appearance of the plants being in laboratory-like conditions. And the Tingir are hand-pollinating them. Think for a moment why they would be doing that. Why is hand-pollination necessary? The answer is you do it when you're trying to create a new strain of plant, when you are hybridizing plants to create one that has new properties or that can thrive in new conditions. You may have to hand-pollinate plants if something has happened that means you no longer have the insect life that used to do that pollination. It could suggest these plants have been brought from far away into a new environment and they have to be modified to thrive in the new environment. Put these things together and you have the suggestion of a cataclysm. Something has gone catastrophically wrong with the local ecosphere. The insects are no longer there. Plants are no longer thriving, and plants have to be reintroduced and hybridized in order to thrive in the new conditions. Now, when you put these carvings alongside the cuneiform inscriptions at the ancient sites, this is a story of the rebirth of agriculture in exactly the part of the world that modern science identifies with the creation of modern farming methods. DNA research has tracked the progress of modern farming from ancient Anatolia, beginning around 10,000 years before present, in the immediate aftermath of the most recent ice age, the Younger Dryas cold period. These ancient agricultural scientists took with them not only the skills of agronomy, but the skills of civil engineering, building with stone, traveling with them as they migrated. So I find it interesting that these images go together. Ziggurats implying contact with another dimension, flying discs implying anomalous technology, Tingir, these mysterious people who can fly and who are rebooting the local ecosphere. It tells us that what happened last time, 10,000 years ago, is that we were in trouble and the future of humanity was at a vulnerable place. That's when their skies filled with anomalous traffic, but not to blast them out of existence, but to support their progress and facilitate a leap forward in technology, in civil engineering, in the canalization of the region, in the turning of barren lands into fertile farms. And once you have farms, you have surpluses, a specialized society, and the progress to becoming a technological civilization has been rebooted. Right now, there's a lot of anxiety about who is in our airspace. But in the Eden Enigma, I suggest we need to be more discerning than that. If Hermes Shed is right, and we've been in collaboration for more than 80 years, then clearly not all of our galactic company is hostile. And our ancestors tell us stories in which our visitors were far from hostile. They nurtured human progress in the deep past. What if current contact would enable a great technological leap forward for humanity? What could that mean for us? And if we're on the cusp of that, wouldn't you like to know? Might it not be more interesting to look past the current spate of drones and orbs and spot the more interesting things happening in our skies right now? Because there is every possibility that our visitors are concerned for us now in the same way they were during the 1950s, in the same way they were after the detonations of the bombs at Trinity, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki, in the same way they were after the extinction-level event of the Younger Dryas Cold Period, and maybe during, in the same way they were at the time of the La Sharpe excursion and the Adams event. All these events are accompanied with stories of contact. And that makes me somewhat optimistic that we might not be looking at a scenario of invasion of the body snatchers or Mars attacks or Independence Day. There is every possibility that if we engage more intelligently with what is happening right now and throw all our accountability on Skunk Works and Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, if we do that rather than banging on the doors angrily of the Pentagon, we might get a little bit more information about what is in the air right now and what might be coming next for us.
Thank you for watching The Fifth Kind TV. Remember to subscribe and click on the bell for notifications so that you never miss when we upload new content. For uncensored access to our full interviews and documentaries, go to fifthkind.tv. For more videos about paleo contact and the wisdom of the world's ancestral narratives, go to the Paul Wallace channel, subscribe, and click on the bell. Thank you for watching The Fifth Kind TV.